From Noble Robot on East Hennepin Avenue in Progressive, Minneapolis, this is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk games and game development.
I'm Ellen Burns Johnson, and I make nice games.
I'm Steve McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Mark LaCroix. I, too, make nice games. This week, we're back to the drawing board for another Nice Thinking, where one of your nice hosts or a nice guest brings in an idea to the clubhouse to workshop on air. And so, if everyone's ready, let's start.
It's my idea. I did it.
Setting expectations right out of the gate.
What does that mean? Setting expectations. My ideas are good. Maybe.
Well, your tone indicated, okay.
I was proud.
You know what?
I was about to say, like, bless you or excuse you or something. Like,
address your letters to Stephen.
Oh, my goodness.
You smelt it, you dealt it. I don't.
In the feedback form, if you think I'm wrong and my ideas are bad.
Nicegames.club/feedback.
Yeah.
Please visit there now. You can do it while you're listening. Just update along as you discover new things you want to critique Steve.
And there will be more, so.
We'll get into all that.
They know where to find us.
I got a little piece of news at the top of the show, which is old news by now. Mm. But a couple of weeks ago, from where we're sitting, dear listener, Panic put out one of their, I think, quarterly now updates for the playdate. So longtime listeners know that I've been involved in that developer community. I make a game engine for Playdate development called Noble Engine, which you can look up online. And Panic puts out frequent updates. I think they're doing it quarterly now. This is labeled as the fall one, where they talk about new games coming to the platform through their curated game store.
Yeah.
And they reach out to the developers of some of those games who do little, they produce their own little sort of little interview segments where they talk about their work. Mm-hmm. And then they do a showcase of like all of the games, you know, showing trailer content and stuff. It's a really nice way to keep the platform kind of engaged. And they're doing a big sale that is probably over by now. But it was nice to see, because one of the ones that they featured that had a longer video segment was a game called Bwrds, B-W-R-D-S, yeah. Which is it's a word puzzle game, and it was made with Noble Engine,
mm-hmm.
Which is really cool. And I've spoken to the developer of that game a couple of times throughout their process, and they were like really excited about using it, and like they submitted some bug reports, which was really valuable. We got some stuff fixed, which
nice.
No one else had caught, which is really cool. Which is really nice when people are using it, because then it can get better. And so that was a really fun process for me. But then also getting them showcased here in a video that made the rounds in the gaming press. It was really cool.
Game's been at a play test here, right?
And
I've played it here.
That's the other thing is that a lot of the games, some like six or so of them of the ones that were announced and featured in that video, mm-hmm. A lot of them were here at Twin Cities Playtest, which is an event that we run here at Noble Robot every month for the local IDGA chapter, where developers bring in their in-development games, and then we have the public come in and play them. We have Playdate hardware here, and because I'm kind of plugged into that community, I put out the call every month on a bunch of Discord servers, say, hey, send me your Playdate builds, because Playdate developers don't have a lot of playtest opportunities.
Yeah.
And so even though it's Twin Cities Playtest, it's kind of the opportunity for Playdate developers worldwide to get their games playtested.
Yeah.
And a bunch of the games that were part of that showcase came through here. And so that's nice to know that not just the work that I'm doing, but the sort of work we're doing as a community is intersecting with that. It was a fun thing. It was cool to see. Because I didn't know that was happening. I watched the update and I was like, oh.
Like, yeah, that's awesome.
So cool.
Yeah, it was neat. I knew a bunch of those games were coming out, but I didn't know that they were coming to the catalog or if they were going to be featured.
Yeah.
So it was really neat.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But my relationship with the folks at Panic for various projects and with the Playdate community has been really valuable, despite the fact that I have not shipped a Playdate game.
Yeah.
Like, it's been years. The plan was to ship a Playdate game that never happened.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling less bad about that now, because I have these other sort of connections and tie-ins with it that's been valuable and really worth it to me in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not what I expected would come out of that process for me.
Well, there are multiple ways to contribute to a platform and the community around it.
Yeah.
Right.
And you've found other ways.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are always more games to make.
I believe that. Yeah.
Speaking of more games to make.
Yes.
my nice thinking idea is this is an
wait,
idea.
Wait,
what's up? Burr,
burr, burr, burr.
Thank you, Ellen. I appreciate that a lot.
I had to get it out.
Okay, so the idea behind this basically is like, basically, you know how you do a game jam, you sit with this idea for 48 hours or whatever, then you basically toss it aside, or you decide this game is amazing and you want to sell it. And so you work on it for another 3 years.
Those are the two extremes.
Honestly, though. Yeah. That's how game jams work.
Yep. Well, it's, I mean, even our game jams on the show end with, I want to work on this, and that, or let's work on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right? Most of them we don't.
But. Yeah, yeah. But it does happen, right? So, yeah. Like, that's why Glarum came up, and we've been working, you know, we worked on Dogpile and Robossin, and but we have a bunch of other games that we've done game jams for that we didn't work on because we just don't have time. The idea,
because Ellen's wrong. There's not always more games to make. There's never enough time to make. Well,
yeah, basically.
There's not enough time to work on all the games.
Yeah, there's always more games to make, I guess.
So many games.
So when you said that, you didn't mean that as like a it's okay. There's always more games to make. It's awful. There's always going to be more games to crush you and your aspirations.
It's two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Actually,
yeah, that's true. Anyways,
so
my thought is that it would be cool if there was just a game idea that you stuck with over a long period of time, but you only focused a certain period of time on it. So, like, you do a game jam for one game idea over, like, several months, but, like, one day every several months or something like that. That makes sense?
Oh.
So, basically, you'd, like, come up with, I don't know, whatever, a fighting game, because I like fighting games. and then you build out this fighting game in 24 hours. I'm thinking 24 hours. But maybe it's 48 hours. And then you play this fighting game for the month and you're like, wow, this could be better. This kind of sucks. This thing's nice though. We should keep that. Then the next month you take that game and maybe you rebuild it. Maybe you add on to it. You decide what you want to do at that time. And you just keep doing that. You spend another 24 hours working on that idea, building on that idea again. And then over the month you think about it again. You come back to it next month and you do the same thing. And you just keep doing this until, I don't know. I haven't figured all the details out, obviously.
Yeah.
That's why we're here today.
Right. So this is like, if you know the sort of story of Brigadoon, the idea like this, a place that only exists for a brief period every 100 years.
Oh.
Like that.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, I guess.
That's what this, like working on this thing just is only allowed within this brief magical moment,
yeah,
where it appears in your life and then disappears until the cycle repeats.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's part of the idea of this is like it would be a neat way to like fit another game into a person's schedule because you only have to commit a whole day,
yeah,
but like one whole day to it a month, which seems feasible, mm-hmm, potentially.
Yeah.
And it's a way to get more out of a game jam idea that isn't as committal as literally either, you know, as building out a whole game. Because I feel like, it does kind of feel like those are the two extremes. It kind of feels like that's how I have to handle,
yeah,
any game jams. Is you either toss it away because you just can't have time for it, or you devote all of your time to it because you think it's that good. But this is a way to like kind of ease your way into it more and develop out more of this idea and kind of scratch some of the creative itches that game jams can't reach,
mm-hmm,
in that like you get to actually do some iterating off of this idea in a way that I think could be potentially fun.
So how is this different from just like what I do with my multiple projects, which, yeah, is Wednesdays is my day where I work on operators, and so that just happens every, like, why is that different from that where you just have a day for a thing? Is it because the idea is that you do a whole game jam and you complete it, and then when you come back to it you need to sort of like, it's like a sprint. You have to deliver, yeah, something at the end of each.
That's kind of what I'm thinking is, yeah, effectively like a sprint, but just condensed into one day or 2 days.
Yeah.
Is how I'm imagining it. Also, I think it works better for like a multiple people schedule because they all could just take, like, you know, if you're working with four people, five people or something, they could all just take off that one day or whatever, or just decide this is the Saturday we're going to spend, yeah, on this game.
He says not having organized a D&D group.
Yeah, okay.
And also knowing how this show's schedule works.
Yeah, look. I didn't say it
would super be easy.
I didn't say it would be easy, but it might be easier to fit into people's schedule.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of why I was thinking it would be 24 hours. But like I said, I haven't really solidified any kinds of,
right,
any concepts.
That's why it's here in Nice Thinking.
Exactly.
Is that,
right,
it's,
right,
it's not a finished idea yet.
Yeah, I also don't even know if it should happen once a month, if it should happen more frequently, less frequently. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I like a lot of those details. But it's something that I've been thinking about because the other day you and Scott, Mark, were having like a conversation about a game jam where like everybody works on the same idea, but it's like built in a different generation of consoles.
Yeah, that's cool. It was like everyone's working on the same franchise as if it all existed over the course of decades.
Yeah.
But someone's working on an NES homebrew game. And someone's working on an itch game. But they're all, you have like a little series Bible or something and everybody sticks to it. And because no one's really communicating that much, the idea would be that like any incompatibilities or things would just be down to over the years, the people in charge of this IP have changed their, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like, which is neat. Mm-hmm, that's a cool idea. And
like, why does Knuckles now dress like that? It's like, well, because some art director was hired. Like, that's why it's different from the last one.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
That sort of thing.
I think that's kind of neat. But also, I was kind of inspired by UFO 50, which I think is kind of growing in the game dev circles because it's a wild idea.
And I know I promised I would I'd play that game. Last week,
it's been 30 minutes,
but we're recording this episode on the same day, so
right, yes,
I haven't played it yet.
He will next time, I'm sure. I'm not going to commit you to that. UFO 50, like, you know, it's built the idea behind it is everybody, all of the games have been built around this by the same creators over the years, these 50 games. So you can see, like, they'll have sequels to some of the games that they made earlier. And you can see how those ideas have like morphed and changed over time and been perfected. Mm-hmm. And I think that like one of the things that like game jams don't allow you to really do, I think, unless you just go into them expecting to make literally the same game every time, which I guess you can.
Yeah.
Is you don't get to like iterate on an idea. You don't get to like perfect it. You don't get to like fully flesh it out. You only have your 48 hours, your 72 hours mm-hmm. to build this thing. And so like you just don't get. You don't get to put as much attention into like finishing or fully developing a whole idea into something.
Yeah.
So the idea this jam would allow for that. This idea, this concept would allow for that.
Would you want to, in my mind, the only way this could avoid becoming just work sessions.
Yeah.
Like first time out, you start from nothing. You end with essentially a prototype, a game jam game.
Mm-hmm.
What happens at the second one?
Right.
What are you expected to come out of it? Because I think an instinct would be to like, well, let's just finish the art. Let's add another level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Which is like fine, but that's just working on it more.
Yeah.
And then the other thing would be how many of these sessions do you have? Like could be, I mean, you know, it's really just an artificial construct, but let's actually put some fences around it.
Sure.
To say how many you've got so that you can... Because I think, like you say, work on an idea. I think the kind of idea that comes out of this, I think, needs to be defined.
Yeah, okay.
Otherwise, there's not enough constraining you.
I think that's one of the flaws of this idea is, some of the things you talk about, one of the things is, like, you know, you'd have to have a dedicated time to do it. But I also hadn't considered, like, how long you should do it for. The games that you can make within a 24-hour period that are finished.
Yeah.
You know, it's limiting. And I think by design that can be a benefit, but it's also like,
you know, that's great for a game jam, but if you're ultimately spending 300, 400 hours on it,
right.
And it's still a game jam game.
Yeah. It's still the size of a game jam.
Yeah.
Game,
well, how do we make that attractive?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Cuz a polished game jam game is great, but you know, that's tricky.
Yeah.
And then also like what's the accountability structure like? Would you want to build a system where people present and share?
Yeah,
is this something a team could just, they're just a paper that describes the process, they just do it on their own schedule?
Right.
Or would it be part of a bigger thing?
Yeah.
Which could, it sort of maybe provide some incentive structure for the constraints.
I was also wondering, like, do the teams need to be consistent? Like, maybe somebody can't show up one time and maybe that's okay, maybe that's not okay, maybe you have to do it each time. Like, yeah, there's a lot of ways this can go. So I like the idea of us constraining it to some extent. And then, like, you know, after the episode, I could be like, all these ideas are trash and I'll do it my way. That's fine, too. Whatever works.
Listener, that's up to you as well.
Yeah, I guess so. My immediate thought is if this thing is supposed to happen once a month, which I guess I'll just commit to that now because that seems reasonable.
We'll start there. Sure.
Yeah. Maybe you have to do this for a full year, just 12 times. That seems... fine, I guess.
Yeah. Not knowing these will be arbitrary choices that dictate certain things.
Yeah.
But we don't have opinions on those things yet, so arbitrary choices are fine.
Yeah, yeah. Right, okay, what else do we need to constrain? I mean, just based off of the fact that, I guess how long actually is the jam?
Yeah, each session. Are they all the same length? Oh, interesting. Because you could have this one's devoted to this type of thing, this one's devoted to that type of thing, so it could be longer or shorter.
That's part of the issue.
Could the last one be 5 days long?
Yeah.
Would the first one be really long?
Interesting.
You know?
I like the idea of the lengths changing.
Yeah.
Because there are aspects of games that don't get finished in game jams that need to get finished for final products.
Yeah.
Like, you know, optimization or accessibility features, some accessibility features, things like that. You can't do some of those things within a very short period of time, but you can definitely, if you had a week, you could probably get those in.
Yeah, this starts to feel like you're saying, the different types of things you need to do. That starts to feel a little bit more like a real structure for this, where it's like the scope stays game jam sized.
Yeah.
But like, you know, session six or whatever, the one that happens in, you know, June or July or whatever, like that one is the one where you'd focus on just narrative or something.
Okay.
Or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that like it like really puts a schedule, and it ends up being kind of a microcosm of an actual game production. Right?
Yeah.
Like you decide the first one, maybe it's longer and it's like a full on game jam. And at the end of that, you're like, well, we're gonna now commit to this process. And then that process just has a recipe, which is like the next one is going to be like narrowing scope or something, or some, you know what I mean? And you just spend 2 days on like production planning, or I don't know.
Okay.
And then another one is like, this one is a 4 day and it's just content. Or, you know, and so like there could be certain things about the game you make which should work this way or work that way, which you don't normally want to prescribe to people. But if they're like adopting a system, maybe you would, you know, maybe this is something that's we design it around like platform games or something.
Sure.
And so that we can have more specific constraints that are easier for people to follow. Maybe we don't do that, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the one I was thinking of is like, it'd be great to just like devote this one just to narrative, because it tells you. Basically, the idea is you can't work on this other thing. And so that is useful to limit your scope. So you're not just like, well, I'm just going to keep chipping away at this thing until it's done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if you give people more time, then they're just going to start using it to chip away at things.
Right.
And so that would be valuable, because then each thing could have a different sort of timetable. But it's a separate idea, sort of. But
it is. It is sort of a separate idea.
But maybe like we can talk about the first one, because the first one is going to like set a lot.
Well, I was thinking the first one is literally just a game jam.
Yeah, yeah. But is there anything you need to do to sort of set yourself up for success with that?
Oh, that's a good question, too.
Like if you don't finish the game, like then...
Yeah, because not all of them get finished.
Yeah, and you know, there's game jams, you're allowed to not finish a game. It's really important for people to know that.
Yes.
But maybe if you want to engage with this process, we could say that, well, if you're not at a place where you have this, and this, then this process is just going to be a struggle for you, because it expects certain things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or maybe we have, if you haven't finished it, then the first one is to finish, you know, or something. And if you, some sort of choose your own adventure for it, or I don't know.
Well, I'm actually curious if, because this game jam is supposed to be over a certain period of time. Well, so that's okay. So, I keep jumping back and forth between thoughts, because there's many different ways this can go. But also, the idea about this is sort of a commitment to one idea.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, at the same time, like when you go into a game jam, sometimes you go into a game jam and you come out with a complete game and you're like, this was nice and I don't want to work on this anymore because you finished it and that feels fine. It was just an idea that you wanted to flesh out and you realized it didn't work out or something like that. This would have to be different. Everybody's mindset would have to be different when they go into it, because you would ideally commit a whole year to this concept.
Mm-hmm. You don't think it would be at the end of that first jam is when you decide whether this is it? Because if you're saying the first one is just a game jam, then maybe that's part of this process, is do a game jam and then at the end make the decision whether you're going to take it to do the rest of it.
Okay.
Or you're just going to leave it there. Or is there something you need to know if committing before you start has some value? Because maybe it does.
It kind of sounds like what you're looking to do is kind of a range. If you're looking to work on it like one day a month for a year,
Yeah.
What you're basically trying to say is each day is a sprint.
Right. Mm-hmm. Technically, yeah.
Right. And if you're actually working with sprints the way they were intended, then at the end of each sprint, you're like, okay, are we doing another one?
Oh, interesting. Okay. That's fair.
Right. Now, there's a lot more layers there. Like the way that sprints are supposed to be used in product development is like that you're driving towards a playable, or in our case, playable, but ultimately a workable end product at the end of each sprint.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily the case here, but I guess you could reframe the question, which is, you know, is this done? Do we want to keep pushing it? Do we want to show this to a publisher? It depends on kind of, I think, what your goals for the project are, which then leads me back to the question I had for you, which we kind of touched on at the beginning, but I don't feel like I got a good answer here.
Okay.
And that was, what is your goal in setting things up this way? Like, what do you want out of it?
I want people to stick with an idea and iterate off of an idea and ideally perfect it, quote unquote.
Yeah. But without doing the thing that is common in game jams, which is essentially just keep working on it.
Yes. Yeah, because like when you just keep working on a game jam game, and really when you just keep working on like a commercial game too, there are a bunch of deadlines and things you have to have because like there's financial considerations and such. Release dates, marketing strategies, whatever else. Like you can't just iterate on a thing until it's good. Because sometimes, well, until it's great, I guess. Because sometimes, you have other things preventing that from happening, like higher ups pressuring you, or this thing needs to come out because you're not, you know.
Well, even you describing it now is like you can't come up with a list of all those pressures and barriers and checkpoints and stuff, because every project is different.
Yes.
So it sounds like what you want is you want a system to build a structure where all of that is set.
Yeah.
And so. So you don't have to worry about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
You've just committed to a process, and your game is going to be, it's going to have to fit, like, you know.
Within
like
a process.
Yeah, you know. And so it's going to have to be flexible enough to do that.
Yeah.
Which is going to be more constraining than some people would want to do for something that they're like, they have a real ambitions for a commercial project.
Right. So like this isn't going to work for like a big RPG, right? Like you can't make a game like that within that kind of time frame. Like it requires a lot more conversation, a lot more thought, a lot more. You can't do that within 24 hours, even over a year or however long.
So you have to set those expectations for people up front. Like this, you're going to maybe part of the goal is for people to learn about a production iteration and stuff, but with no promise that they'll have anything they can sell at the end.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I'm not thinking of this even in terms of commercial value.
No, what I mean is to actually really lay down the law and say that this,
that's not,
you will not end this process with something you can sell or something that that you should expect to sell.
Okay.
You know, cause I think you're going to have people who need to be reminded.
Yeah.
Right. And they need to be motivated to engage in the process. Without having those little thoughts, like, well, I got another extra day here, let's work on that. Like, it's kind of like, you know, follow the rules because then you've completed the challenge.
Yeah,
and then, you know, or something. The artificiality of it, I think, is really important.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. Does that kind of answer your question, Ellen?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think so. I feel like I want to poke at it like a meanie.
Please do. I don't want to poke at it.
I don't want to come at it from a place of being mean, but just to like, you know,
you're trying to understand the idea of whatever the heck I was trying to communicate, right? So,
well, I feel like, so okay, just to get a little bit of context, one of the things I'm being kind of asked to do in my job right now is to put together some like mini workshops.
Okay.
And there are a couple other folks in the company who are doing the same thing, and they're way further along than I am. Obviously, I have a problem with that internally. It's a problem with me. That'll be a different nice thinking. That'll be like nice therapy, and we can do that in the off season. But one of the things I have to do in order to continually to iterate on this workshop is I have to like explain it in a way where people can like read a thing and want to participate in it. So it's like marketing, essentially. So I have this drive, and I've actually found it kind of a useful exercise in like constraining my thinking about what the workshop could be.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, write a poster for it. Like you're going to send somebody a PDF, or you're going to write an email with the equivalent of a poster of content or whatever. Like that's going to explain what it is.
Okay.
So like if we were going to explain this format of game jam, which is like year jam or something.
Sure.
12 jam or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? What is that one pager? And so that's kind of where my questions are coming from, is that frame of mind.
Okay.
So the mean questions I want to ask are like, how are you accounting for, or does it matter that there is like this significant task switching cost? If you're only working on something for one day out of a month, you're going to be spending, you know, if you're spending 8 hours, let's just assume you have 8 hours to work on this. The first hour is probably just going to get back up to speed.
Right.
So like, are there suggestions or systems that you want to put in place to make it easier to get back up to speed? Like, are you going to have all of your meeting recorded and then have an AI generate a summary for you? Like, that would be a thing you could do. So that's question one. And I had a question too, but maybe, I don't know, it went out of my head.
That's fine. No, I really like that, because that is that's a significant flaw in this situation or this system, in that like, if you're taking a month off and then you come back to this thing, you're not even going to remember what the heck the code does.
I wouldn't call it a flaw so much as an inbuilt inefficiency.
Yeah, sure.
You're just accepting that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So there needs to be a system in place in order to allow for that, I guess.
Well, I mean, there doesn't. You could just accept it as an inefficiency.
Okay.
But you do have to then account for it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't have to be something it doesn't have to be something that you design around. It just has to be, you just have to know that it's there, right? Like,
yeah,
it's a thing.
And you can, and that's one thing where if you want to devote each of these sessions, each of these monthly sessions, like two different types of work, then that inefficiency just travels somewhere else, right? Yeah. It also means that the scope for any particular thing has to be really small, because you're not necessarily going to iterate on like the jumping mechanics of a platformer every month for 12 months.
Right.
You've only got two opportunities to do it on week 3 and week 7. Mm. You know what I mean? And so then your scope is going to be a little bit smaller. And so that might help a little bit with that. It's not going to be so big as to have to relearn, you know.
Sure. Like, ultimately, I want people to iterate off of one idea. And so like if the jam is structured in a way that like you can only do certain types of work on certain days, I think that runs counter to that concept.
So then the other way to do it,
yeah,
would be to the next time it's just 12 game jams, mm-hmm. and then but you don't get to you just have the old thing, but you have to start over each time.
That could work.
And you can pull in code or whatever. It doesn't have to be really strict about that. But the rule could be you have to start over and rebuild all of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The last one it's just practice, right? That's the constraint. And so your scope can't get bigger, because you're like, oh, this game jam game is done. Now I'm going to use the next game jam to like build out more enemies and stuff. It's like, nope, next game jam, you have to re-implement everything. Like but you've learned now. You know what you do differently. And,
yeah,
you know, that's totally different from a little bit what we've been talking about. But that's another, I mean, if iteration is the key.
It's still iterative, yeah.
Then you're basically just telling someone, just make the same game 12 times.
Yeah.
Right? Which is, that's how they tell people how to like learn certain crafts.
Yeah,
is by like, you know, make the same thing
again.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now with games, like there's something cruel about that in a sense, and there's also something where they're so easy to work around. You know, I don't need to write this thing again. This is boilerplate code. I'm just going to copy it. And then like in your mind, you're like, why am I doing any of this over again? And then you end up not actually learning anything new, because you're just So there has to be something more to enforce that or to encourage it, mm-hmm. if that's the point. There could be something about like, do it again, but different, right? Like do it again in a different engine, which is maybe a little bit much to ask for some people, but do it again in a way that where you really would not benefit you to just copy things over.
Yeah.
You know, like do it again as a pen and paper game, do it again, you know, but, with this other kind of game jam prompt instead of that game jam prompt, but make the same game, you know?
Yeah. Would it be weird to be like, do it again? Again, but make a sequel to the first game?
I mean, I neither here nor there, really. Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah,
the sequel could just be the same thing, but like different levels. Yeah. Then you don't. You know.
What if?
Uh huh.
What if?
What if?
At the end, what if?
What if?
So I like, if you ever listen to the McElroy's podcast, they always go like, unless, and I feel like we can say, what if?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What if?
At the end of each session, you decided what the target of the next session's iteration is going to be?
Yeah, see, that's... Oh!
That feels really open-ended.
Yes, it does.
Maybe
why is that bad?
Well, I don't know about bad, but like... like, target is a little loose, right?
Okay.
Like, that's...
Sure. Okay. Sorry. I'm interrupting people, but yeah. This is my jam, dang it. I can do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There needs to be a period of time in which you're actually reflecting on what you did. It's like, I think that's another flaw that I think, well, it's not a flaw of game jams. Because, like, you do, like, do a thing, and then you kind of just toss the idea out. And sometimes you have a showcase, but, like, you don't have to sit with it for a bit. And you don't really talk about it with your group very much, unless, like, I guess you do, and then you build out. My point.
There's nothing that I would maybe say that happens a lot, but there's nothing necessarily that forces you to do.
Exactly. I think that's a core part of iteration is recognizing what's working and what isn't.
Yeah.
And improving the things that need to be improved. And so I think there needs to be a period of time after the jam, after the 24 hours or whatever, where you spent a little bit of time away from it, you thought about it, you play the game again. And you're like, oh, this actually does work. This game doesn't work. So like we did that for Robustin, right? We spent a ton of, well, we didn't exactly do that for Robustin, but we spent a ton of time working on Robustin.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like so into it. By the end of it, maybe it's because we were also in lockdown and it was a lot of negative vibes. We were like, oh, this game still needs a lot of work, but it's kind of close. And then like we came back to it several years later and we're like, oh, actually this game is amazing. We don't need to do that, right? So I think having a little bit of space, because you like spent a bunch of time working on this thing, and it's going to be intense because it's a game jam and they're kind of intense. I'm not expecting people to crunch for literally 24 hours, but like you could split it up in 3 days.
What you're basically suggesting, or where you're leading to, I think, is just exactly what Ellen was saying, just at the beginning of the next one.
It could be at the beginning of
rather the next than the end of the last one.
It could be at the beginning of the next one. It could be sometime in between. I think the beginning makes sense because that's makes sense for the schedule. Yeah. There needs to be a period of time when you spend time reflecting on what you did and what actually works and doesn't, and then during the next jam, you build up on that. You build on what your what needs work.
So that would be like a formal process.
Yes.
So if the format is do it again, then step one of do it again is take 2 hours by yourself or with your team to answer these 10 questions.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, 10 questions.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's the
potentially
really like just making it a rule book you can follow is kind of what I'm. I don't know if either of you think that's a great idea, but I feel like that's the only way this really works is just to make it really easy for people.
Yeah,
just step by step.
Yeah.
All the creativity and flexibility
should
happen outside of that. And that's going to be constraining in a way it's going to limit the types of games that can be made. It's going to limit the types of works that you can do. But that I think is good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was thinking of it in terms of a format.
Yeah.
And the rule book is basically.
So when Ellen's saying like a period where you decide how to proceed next or what to aim for next, that could be a question wherever it comes in the process where it's like a choose your own adventure. Like you have maybe at the end of each jam, you have 3 options for the next jam. Either do it again, refine this one, or something else. Do you know what I mean? So that like something that is that you can follow like a rule book, a step by step, but still gives you some choices there. That might make sense at the end. I don't know if that would work either. But
I definitely agree with you, Ellen, in that like reevaluating where you are with the game and building from that is valuable. But I also agree with Mark in that like, you know, if you just did it again. If you did it again, like there's some merit to that because like maybe you're like, wow, this is a cool idea, but like our execution was drastic.
You'd count on some of that reflection to happen naturally.
Yeah.
But you don't want to count on that. You want to codify it.
It needs yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're getting somewhere with this. I definitely like the idea of like putting in some reflection time.
Yeah. But you're thinking, do you think, because it is kind of radical and you haven't really settled on it.
Yeah.
Is do it again? Is that the foundation for this?
I don't know. I still don't know.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I am concerned about one of some of the things that you brought up in that, like, if you do it again, you're just basically copy-pasting stuff, and then you're like, why am I doing this again? What am I actually getting out of this? But if you set guidelines, like Ellen's saying, if you set up front, this is what I'm doing again, specifically the mm-hmm. things you want to do again, I think that will change that to some extent. Because, like, when you come back to the game a month later, you're definitely not going to be like, it's perfect. Right? Unless, I don't know.
Yeah. You don't think people are just going to nibble at the edges of the physics system and or make three more levels? Or, you know, is that's okay? That's what they end up doing? Just working on it more?
I think if we make it clear what kinds of changes you need to make, what kinds of guidelines you need to make over the second session, third session, those kinds of small little tweaks will go away. Okay. The larger tweaks will come to fruition. I mean, I like the idea of you establishing however many questions, 10 questions, and like people really thinking about their answers and using that as the value, or using that as help for evaluating where they're actually at with the game
mm-hmm.
and what needs to be improved and what doesn't, and then making those significant changes in order to make it better.
Yeah.
And then you come back to it the next time you play it again, you're like, oh, this thing worked. This thing didn't work. This question says, well, this question next is a good question. I actually don't like this aspect of it. And then you come back and you build it up again. You got to test it. But, like, I think that will help.
And how do you... So this is why I was thinking, like, it'd be interesting to, like, focus on parts of the game for each session. Because I think that's just going to happen naturally.
Sure.
Unless you force people to start over.
Yeah, okay.
So you can lean into it, or you can... A different kind of process. No, like if it's a public process, maybe you have to post your iteration each time, and so it sort of forces the sort of sprint deliverable on people, and therefore they're less likely. They'll spend more on some things and other things each time, and maybe that's okay.
Mm-hmm. That's the best part of the thing, right? Is like people are gonna spend. They're gonna be like, oh, the narrative doesn't work,
yeah.
or we need better graphics on level 2.
Yeah. But it's not really iteration if they're just working more on the stuff they didn't work on a lot last time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's why I think I like your idea of having kind of a guidebook.
Yeah, a guidebook.
It also
yeah.
It also creates an end to the experience. Like, you're going to do this for this, you know, you can choose this length, like this, the 3-month version, the six-month version, or the 12-month version.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it having an ending feels really important.
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
And then people could do what they want.
Right.
You know.
Well, yeah.
They're free of the rules at that point.
The challenge here is that at the end of that period, you still end up with the same thing, right? Like, you've done 12 iteration sessions, and now what? mm-hmm. You know, but maybe that's okay, because you're going to be further along and you'll have covered more creative ground.
Right.
That's the point of it, right?
That's the theory.
Is you're meant to walk away with experience and knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not necessarily a product.
Well, and I think that's what happens at the end of a game jam, is there's this unknown, because you built a thing, mm-hmm. but it's only a test of this thing, because you only had so much time.
Right.
There's a bit of unknown. But if you spend, 12 game jams working on this one idea, there's a lot less unknown.
Yeah.
And you, at that point, then you can evaluate and decide, oh, I actually want to make this game fully, and I know what it is now, yeah. and I don't have to... Like when we worked on Winter Satchel, right? We did it. We started that with a game jam, and we were like, oh, this game is great. And it is. But, like, we didn't recognize a lot of the things that weren't working with the game. Like, the actual weight system, that I think still has potential. But, like, we didn't build around it as much in that finished game as we did in the game jam. And I think that if we had, like, even a little bit more time to iterate off of that concept, maybe that would have been more fleshed out, and we would have more it would have been more involved in the final product.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like those kinds of things that I feel a little bit, I guess, sad about when I think about a game jam idea that I came back from.
Well, it's interesting because with Widget Satchel, we actually, the first thing we did
yeah.
after we were done with the jam, when we decided we were going to work on it more, is we had regular design meetings.
We did, yes.
And we iterated. And so we did a lot of, like, whiteboard iteration.
No, we absolutely did iterate off of it. But, like, yeah. at that point, it was a proper game production. you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying that's
so what I'm saying is that so that's not so much different maybe from what we're describing here. Other than the fact that it was a little more open-ended.
Sure.
You know, it was obviously bigger.
I think it's just valuable to like come at a game idea from all angles instead of just one angle and then decide to work on it first.
Yeah.
Or fully. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. And I think that ideally this format would allow for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think you gotta start over then. Month. So it's the only way to solve it. I think you don't want to do it because it sounds annoying.
No, I don't want to do it because it sounds like it won't work.
Yeah.
I agree. Like I agree with a lot of the ideas of you having to start over.
Yeah.
But I do think people just copy paste crap. And then like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. There's a certain amount of trust you have to give in participants. It's like,
yeah,
you're just playing. We're treating these like players, right? They're like, what are they going to be motivated to do?
Yeah.
And so people will have to, they have to enforce the rules upon themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So what rules will be easier for them to enforce upon themselves?
Yeah.
You know, in order to get what you want, which is you want them to iterate on the whole thing.
Yes.
Each time.
Yes.
And so, seems to be the easiest way you can force someone to do that
to do it is to tell them to start over.
Yeah. And if they, in their mind, they're like, well, I'm just going to type out the same thing, so I'll just copy it. Then, like, that's not really, it's up to them to decide how much they're breaking that rule, I guess.
I guess, ultimately, if people understand the purpose of it, like, if you're going into it with a bad mindset, and then it doesn't matter how you approach it. You're just going to copy paste and make the game, and you're cheating anyways.
But like, we do have to, I'm with you there. You can't 100% handhold people or like totally bulletproof any possible exploits.
Right.
But you want to design a system that where it's not frustrating to stick to the rules.
Yes.
You know? And I feel like if you just open up the Unity project again, it's going to be a hard sell to reiterate on the whole thing.
Yeah.
In a weekend rather than just focus on the three things you didn't have enough time for last time.
Yeah, okay.
You know.
No, I think that's fair. Okay.
But, you know,
I'll put it down in my notes.
Yep.
We'll decide.
I mean, there's got to be a way to, then you'd have need to have more rules about what you need to work on.
Yeah.
Right? At the end of the last jam, you fill out a sheet of all the things you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And then each of those things need to be worked on so that you wrote, you know, but is that more burdensome? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so we're recording in November.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What comes after November?
December?
Seems like a trick question.
Yes. It does.
Okay.
Okay, all right, cool. Sorry, this nice thinking has melted my brain already.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Are we going somewhere with this? December has things in it.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to get gifts for people. Many people make a practice of making shopping lists and gift lists and sharing gifts and
stuff. Right.
All right, I'll take that as read.
Yes.
What are you getting at?
Yeah.
Well, we have a thing that you might find would be a good gift for some people on your list.
Oh yeah?
And this thing is not a t-shirt, although that's a good one. This thing is a full-on game.
Mm-hmm.
You can't wear it. But you can enjoy it again and again and again. And who am I to say you can't wear it? You could probably take one of your favorite glom phrases and make it into a t-shirt, and that would be
amazing. I'm sorry, Ellen, what was the name of that game?
It's called Glom.
Waiting for that.
Yeah.
Waiting for that. All right. Yes, we made a game. We made a game. We made a game that you could purchase for your friends, for your family, this holiday season. Check it out at nicegames.club/glom.
Uh-huh.
Very fun games.
If you've made your way through this call to action and you're like, what are they talking about?
Right. It's a fun party word game that anyone can play. Takes 5 minutes to play. But like you start, you'll just keep playing it. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, we like to say that it's you know, it's a challenge to get good at Glom, but it's also really fun to be bad at it.
Yeah.
So
yes.
It is a game for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get it at nicegames.club/glom.
I'm warming up to the idea of us having to start over. Or of a participant having to start over each time.
But don't let me bully you into it.
No.
Ellen, you don't like it either, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Ellen. What do you think?
starting over every time?
Yeah.
Like that being the expression of iteration.
I don't think people will like it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like it. Like, I think it's, you know, there's always the option of you giving people that option. But like, I actually don't know. And part of I think that the strength of this idea is that you are committing to iterating in a way where you're looking at maybe different lenses, looking at the project with different lenses, and you're committing to go through all of those lenses. And maybe by the end, you're like, okay, what we've got here, you know, we just finished our interview with Hempuli, and we were talking about how sometimes you test out a thing, you build a prototype, and you're like, there's no big game here. There's a small game. Mm-hmm. There's a fun puzzle idea that gives you 3 or 4 levels, and that's it.
Yeah.
But even when you get that far, you've looked at the game from different angles, right? And so I think that the benefit of doing an exercise list is that you're committing to looking at it from a bunch of different angles. And so there's value in going through the exercise, even if at the end you're like, there's nothing here, you know?
So that's
like,
where each one of them would have a different sequence, a different table of contents, a different agenda.
Yeah. Now, is there a benefit also in doing it where like, doing it in a way where you are looking at it like doing it completely different, like you're looking at the same concept but doing it over? Yes, I think there's benefit in that too.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's like a separate book.
It's just I think
chapter 2.
Yeah. I think it's just the it's difficult to, we're putting it on the participant to evaluate what does starting over mean in a way that I think kind of,
well, you could write a whole paragraph on what that is.
Right.
And
well, sure. But, I guess, like, ultimately, I think I would want somebody doing this to determine whether or not it makes sense for them to start over as opposed to us enforcing that concept. Because that's what can be part of iteration, too, right? Mm-hmm. You built this thing, and you're like, oh, this actually isn't working. You got to start over from scratch. The idea was solid, but the execution isn't working or something, you know? And so I think that you had brought up like the spirit of iteration or something
So doing it over or starting from scratch is that's the expression of iteration.
What is
the mechanical expression of iterating on something? What makes it iteration and not just additional work?
Yeah.
And that's one way to do it.
Yeah.
Another way to do it is Ellen's describing through a different lens. So each one has a different agenda, and you have to focus on that. And then it doesn't matter what your code base is or where you started from, because you're focused on. I think the key is, however it is, it has to be prescriptive. You do have to tell people what to do.
Yeah.
So that they're not, one, so they're not like trying to figure out how to do it, because that's burdensome.
Yeah.
And that's not the skills we're trying to teach them.
Right.
Those are great skills in game production, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're denying them, if we're asking them to make something over the course of a long period of time, in free time that they have, whether they're working on another game or this is a hobby to get into game development, or telling them you're not going to have something you can sell at the end of this, don't expect that.
Right.
Then we should also make it more of an activity.
Yeah, sure.
Then
I agree with that.
Then work.
Yes.
Which isn't to say that's not also going to be work, but anything we can turn into instructions, anything we can turn into Lego, will make it more an enjoyable process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? we absolutely need a set of rules, a rule book that explains exactly
some definitive, codified expression of iteration.
Yes.
What does iteration mean in this project?
Well, one of the things that we haven't even talked about really is playtesting, and not just between the team, but like there needs to be some period of time when you're like showing the game off to other people and watching them play it and recognizing that.
Well, this is where we can get wacky, right?
Let's get wacky.
Like, let's say this is a Ludum Dare kind of thing where it's a website and you have lots of teams and you bring everybody in.
Oh.
Then everybody submits a game in month one, and then, it's shared around. People play it.
Yeah.
There's some sort of system. Ludum Dare has a system they developed over many years, which has pluses and minuses, but it's overall a pretty good system to get people to play games and provide feedback.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And then for version two, either you have another team has given you instructions. They've answered the questions.
Yeah.
You haven't answered them. They've answered it.
Okay.
Right? And so then you have to follow their instructions.
Oh, fascinating.
Or here's how you start over. you make version two of somebody else's game. Everybody changes games.
Oh.
And then you could make your own choices about that. You won't get their source code.
Well, you weren't playing about wacky.
You're just getting their game.
Okay.
That's one way to
no,
do it.
No,
that's one expression of iteration.
That's
is that
totally fascinating.
It gets refined through different lenses, through different people's concepts.
Yeah, and then you're starting over because you have to start over because you're not the person who made the game in the first place.
Now, that is a failing on one of your original things, though. Like, okay. I think it's a fun, wacky idea.
Uh-huh.
But you iterating on your own work
is
extremely important. I think this fun, wacky idea is fun and wacky, and I'm happy for this to move in that direction. But just as a warning.
No, you're right.
It doesn't. But playtesting, having a sort of system, if it's going to be sort of a public system, and we're just imagining. We don't have to build this necessarily.
Yeah.
We're imagining a community around this sort of thing. What can that provide, which can then help govern that expression of iteration?
Having a community around it would be really helpful. Also, yeah. I do, when like a cool idea comes in, I tend to get distracted and go like, yeah, this is the idea, and forget all those things I said I wanted to do. So thank you for calling that out.
Yeah.
Because
is it about the idea or is it about the person? Do we want them to learn the iteration or do we want to actually iterate something until something cool comes out, like a machine, because that's cool too, but that might not be what you want.
I want both things.
Uh-huh.
But I can't.
No,
build a website and have two flavors.
Yeah. It's fine, just give me options, right? Yeah. No, I think okay, game jams oftentimes are just blame game jams.
Yeah.
Are oftentimes built around like people learning or building out a concept because it's something that's brought to mind. But it's mostly just like practicing the craft, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this ultimately is something I want to help people practice the craft as well.
Yeah.
And less so about like the spirit and ideas of iteration.
Ah.
As a community.
Okay.
That being said, I do think that having community around this idea helps reinforce a lot of those concepts. I mean, it's like with curling. I'm going to bring up curling because Mark likes curling. in that everybody kind of reinforces these ideas because the community has decided that these ideas are important to them in this game.
A reason to do it is because everyone else is doing it and it's part. You get to be part of the community.
Well, yeah, and everybody explains like through interacting with the community, you understand the importance of the thing.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that having a community based around this idea will help, and it definitely will it'll definitely help with this concept, but I'm wondering how best to integrate community in the idea. I didn't answer your question, I guess.
I mean, you got there.
Okay.
you still want the... You're not interested in the super wacky idea.
I am interested in the super wacky idea, but it's a different idea.
Okay, cool. Well, then we'll set that aside.
Yeah, yeah.
That can be a wacky idea.
Yeah.
That can be done later by this website.
Mm-hmm.
As a special one-off.
Yeah, but it is a really cool idea.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But what about the idea of having, you have the process of sharing the games, and then so game jams tend to be bolstered by prompts. That's an important part of game jams as a way to ease in the process,
right?
To put you in a box that's easier to be creative in.
Yeah.
What about that notion of iteration? Because my big concern is like preventing people from just working.
Right.
Is imposing there could be some process by which every game gets sort of a collective prompt or something, so you don't know what you have to do next month. You have to keep working on the same game but with a new prompt. And either that's because it's the same prompt for everybody that just changes every month and is revealed at the top of the month, or it's through that feedback process, you are then, people, they don't necessarily rate you, because I hate when things are scored, you know? I mean, you may like that, but like if I'm designing this, people would just give it qualities, and then those qualities get put into a, you know, beep, 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 outcomes, instructions based on that. Either because it is designed... And this is a choice we would make as designers of the thing, either to people have this reaction to this game. So let's force the team to iterate in a different direction.
Yeah.
Or the opposite, which is say people are finding this about it interesting.
Yeah.
Or they're saying all the same things about it. Therefore, let's reinforce that.
I was thinking like a tagging system. You basically, everybody, they play the game and they're like, oh, this thing is spooky, yeah. or this thing, I don't know. I don't have a good idea for what the tag.
Or this game is too hard.
Or something.
Or this game is
difficult.
Has,
yeah.
It's, you know, it's narrative heavy or narrative light.
Yeah.
And then the prompt for the next month could come by, and you don't get to see any of the tagging as that process goes on. Mm. And then when it's time to work on the next one, you get this new prompt, which is essentially you still have the same code base, but like you really can't just keep at it because you're being told to move in a different direction.
Yeah.
Right. And this also becomes the process where, like, if you were to actually be working on a commercial project, this would be the worst way to do it.
Yeah.
But that's not a concern of ours.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you don't necessarily like that direction, you know, there's mitigations we could have in the system to prevent people from being having a bad experience, I suppose. But accounting for all that, assuming that's what we could do, because you need to iterate each time, mm-hmm. if you end up going in a direction that's like a little weird you wouldn't have chosen, well, you've got the last iteration. You can still share that and stuff.
Yeah.
So that also encourages you to finish something each month.
Yeah.
Without forcing you to start completely over.
Yeah. Okay. I definitely like the idea of a tag system. It could be abused, but we can work around that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I'm having a hard time coming up with what these different prompts would be every month. So I'm not exactly sure. I think there's some merit to considering that idea, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand it yet, I guess, fully.
Okay.
But
do you want me to pitch it further to you?
Yes.
Okay. So I think the problem it solves is I've got a version of this Game Jam game.
Yeah.
It's a Game Jam game.
Yeah.
Art's kind of bad. There's not as much animation as I'd like. And
yeah.
Did a little smoke and mirrors here, and there's only two levels.
Mm.
Great. That's a Game Jam game.
Yeah.
Next month, my intention, I really like it. People responded well to it. What I really want to do is make three more levels and like and update the art a little bit.
Right.
We don't really want people to do that.
Yeah.
Necessarily. Yeah. We're okay with them doing that, but we don't want that to be the focus, right?
Yeah.
And so we need a structure to prevent them from focusing all their energy on that.
Right.
All their energy. They could focus some of it. So my pitch then is that if there's this community tagging system, then the eve of the next jam, you get an email or it's on your profile or something of like for version 2 or version 3 or whatever, you have a new prompt that's personalized to people's reaction to your previous iteration.
I see.
And the prompt could be, let's say you make a puzzle game.
Yeah.
Right? It's a puzzle game. Let's just imagine it's like Treasure Stack.
Okay.
Right? Where it's a matching puzzle game, but there are little characters and it's fictional.
Sure.
The prompt you could get would be to add more story. Or the prompt you could get would be remove all the characters. Or it could be like, you know, I mean, it would be kind of radical, but like change the, or take these characters and put the, you know, and it would not necessarily be like, you know, I'm assuming if this was a system as big as Ludum Dare, you couldn't write one for each one.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't necessarily want to leave it to some machine learning, large language model thing to do it because you'd have errors all over the place.
Yeah.
And unintentional things. You'd have essentially 50 to 100 prompts.
Yeah.
That could be calculated, that would be based on an algorithm that you would design based on how people tag it. It would be a really simple algorithm. It wouldn't be that complicated.
Okay.
But you as the developer would have no idea what it was going to be.
Yeah.
And there's two ways you could go with it. You could either force the thing to spit out a prompt that really forces the team to move in a totally different direction, really gives them a new challenge. Mm-hmm. So every month is a brand new challenge. It also makes this less important because things can fall apart and break and you care less.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Hmm. Or if the goal is to strengthen the what's working about the game, what people like or what people see. I think like is maybe I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't probably say like this is good story or bad story, what good art, bad art. What is in it? People would describe it with the tag system.
Yes.
And so the algorithm would have a general idea of what this game is throughout however categories we define, and then would tell the developers either do more of that in this way or do something different or add something different or move it 10 degrees to the right or something so that when it's time for the next jam, you have a starting position, which is your last iteration, and an entirely new prompt that this game will not meet.
Okay.
Right? That's the key. Right. The game you made will not meet the new prompt.
Yeah.
It cannot. You cannot just submit it again. You cannot submit that version but better. Right. It will not meet that prompt.
Okay.
And, you know, that could be part of the tagging system. Meets the prompt.
Oh, and you know what? Yeah. And that could be part of the evaluation system. Yeah. The tagging system, like you said. If it meets the prompt, you said meets the prompt, yes or no.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
And if it doesn't, then the thing could be more aggressive about, oh, you didn't meet the prompt. Sorry, you got to make an RPG now. Like, like it could punish you in that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, it would never disqualify you. And you know, and in my heart, I never want to rank anybody
yeah.
or give them points. But you could still say like, well, you just made a little bit more of this according to all the people who played both versions. They have, again, assuming this works, yeah. then the new prompt could just be more aggressive, push you in a new direction, which you don't want. So that motivates you to follow the instructions a little more. And then, or you could fight it every month and then just see what happens. Like, that's fine too. You know what I mean?
You're building this into one of your kids.
No point. No, who cares? Yeah. No score, nothing. People can do what they want. Cause I think that you want to give people a framework that encourages them to do things.
Yeah.
But you also don't necessarily want to make them feel bad.
We're not governing them.
Yeah. Yeah, like people, they can get what out of it, whatever they want to get out of it.
Right, ultimately.
But if they play along, they can get a really interesting experience.
Yeah.
And if they want to fight it a little bit, they can get a little different experience. Mm-hmm. And if they want to fight a little bit here and a little bit, you know, they could be like, well, this prompt isn't great. Let's just half follow it.
Sure.
In which case, we'll just see how it goes. Maybe the people who tag them next month understand and are like, great, this worked.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then they just get a thing. But that's my pitch, is that a prompt, it would every month, what you have will not satisfy the requirements for the next month.
I like the idea of a prompt. Mm-hmm. I definitely like the idea. I already like the text system. I like the idea of a prompt. I like the idea that everybody evaluates your game based off of the prompt you got. That's cool, because then, you know, you have to prove that you've iterated off of it, and everybody else will keep you accountable. Mm-hmm. I think that's important or valuable. I mean, I don't like having the idea of like creating an algorithm to give you a prompt, but like, how else are you going to do this?
Yeah, I say, I mean, algorithm is such a loaded term.
Yeah, yeah.
I meant if else statements.
What I meant is, it seems like a lot of work. But yeah, I guess if it's six if else statements,
it wouldn't be that complicated.
That's not that hard. But yeah. Okay. Yeah. I like. There's a lot to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've cut out a. You cut out a big project.
Well, that's why it's a nice thinking and not a nice doing.
Yeah. You know, another thing that we can, you know, think about, we're sort of, I guess we're kind of circling on the end of this episode.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, does this, if something like this, if you want a website and a community, if that's kind of where the ideal of this would be something you like, is 12 months ideal? Is 3 months? Is 4 months? You know, like 4 iterations. Where you really have to flex yourself, like that could probably you can get a lot out of that, right?
Yeah,
it's not a huge commitment.
Yeah.
Ellen described earlier like the 3 month, 6 month, 9 month version.
Yeah.
A system like this would be really. I was skeptical of that. Like, well, this was just design one thing, but actually, where we sort of landed, the ideas would actually make a lot of sense. Something like that, right?
Yeah.
And even the participants don't have to know where in the process you are.
Yeah. You know? Right. Right. That's true.
So I don't know. There's different ways you could do it, but. But now, yeah, 12 months made sense when we didn't know anything about it, you know?
No, at this point, now it just does kind of feel like. And I did not even, because it is a lot. But the idea of, like, a community being based around this idea, I didn't even consider that. But, like, it definitely can reinforce a lot of the concepts of the game.
Yeah.
Or this system in a way that I think will be really helpful towards making it actually work.
And you could do something simpler where you just self-assess your own game, and then you look in a rule book and just pick one of the 4 possible directions based, you know what I mean? There's you wouldn't necessarily need it to for that idea to work.
Yeah.
But there's just something nice about that accountability, and the whole challenge of it is to get people to stick to a system. Then just doing it with hundreds of other people is a great way. Then it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And easier said than done, of course, to build.
Yeah. Well, I mean, One thing I definitely like about this idea, especially having community based around it, is like other people can evaluate the iteration, and you can use that knowledge to make your game better in ways that I think that need to be accounted for in game development in general. Mm-hmm. So like you know you're taking other people's playtest feedback, and you're iterating based off of that, and I think that is. Something that isn't
that alone is
for some reason I did not build into this prompt idea, but like definitely should have been core to the idea. Yeah. It's playtesting. Like, what was I thinking? Uh-huh.
Who are you? What did you do with Steven?
I know. Right?
Well, you're trying to have a realistic scope of what this could actually be.
And yeah.
You realize that's not what this episode is about.
Yeah. 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 For sure. I got thrown for
what you actually want is iteration requires feedback. So mm-hmm. You need a feedback system.
Right. Right. So like, I think that aspect of it is like really cool, and I think that would be, what I'm imagining is like there's just a web page and it just has all of the different versions of it, and people can play all of the different versions, and then like they can give you tags or comments based off of the different versions they played. Maybe they're like, version 2 had this and this, and this was really cool, but version 3 had this and didn't have this one in version 2.
You could see it's a very behind the scenes.
Yeah. I mean,
we talked to Hempley last week.
Right.
And he was saying how that's such a cool thing to be able to share and see.
Yeah.
This seems like almost a sort of a platonic ideal of that kind of thing.
Right. Which and plus, cool. Because these games are small, like they won't take that long for people to play through. And so it's feasible for them to spend an hour playing through all the different iterations.
And certainly this could definitely be something where you could go nuts with your rule book. You could say games should take no longer than 5 minutes to play.
That's true.
You know, it could be arbitrary rules, but it could really encourage that this is about iteration. It's not really about design.
It helps.
It's not really, it's about taking something you have and iterating on it rather than building anything.
It helps make it clear what you're going, because like I think, you know, people go into a game jam being really ambitious and then they're on, you know, day two and they're like, oh, I gotta get this thing done, and they they end up faltering out. But like if you're really clear this game needs to be 5 minutes long or whatever, that the upfront, you know how big the game needs to
be. Only single player must be able to be played with a mouse and keyboard or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be interested in that, but like those are the kinds of things where you would basically just remove a lot of the sand traps.
Yeah.
And
yes.
From the course.
Right.
So that developers could just like, okay, I can't be ambitious in this area.
Yeah.
Fine.
Well, yeah, because if you're frustrated from jump, then like you're not gonna want to participate in the rest of things anyway.
Yeah.
So if you make it clear up front.
And certainly, if we're asking people to play a bunch of these games,
making
them standardizing them in a way that is like this is the bite size that they are. This is how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like maybe it's they need to be a certain. They need to be, if they're web games, maybe they need to be a certain resolution or something. Could be other weird artificial constraints, so that they would actually be sort of fascinating as a collection.
Mm.
And you could have a lot of people participating as players and not necessarily as player developers.
Yeah,
right. Which would make it different and maybe give it. Now I'm thinking of really how to build and market this thing, but like that would make it different from Ludum Dare, which is that Ludum Dare is structured on this like mutual incentive to play other people's games so people will play your game.
Right.
But what if you just had this thing that you just like every, you know, every month, a bunch of new iterations of these bite-sized things in, and then like a bunch of people float in from Reddit. Like, you know,
that's
to play it and tag it. Like,
that's super cool. I would love that. That's great.
That is cool.
Yeah.
What was that? There was like a game that came out a while. It wasn't really a game. It was called like Meditations or something like that. And
yes, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, it got mixed reviews, but this is kind of sort of that idea.
Yeah.
But as an exercise with structure around it.
Because that collection was sold to gamers, but it was it was an experiment for game developers. And so, and it's part of why it was a little bit mixed, because that's a very hard thing to do. And so, because you end up having a lot of games that were very, very small in ways that players didn't expect. They expected more bite-sized polished stones, gemstones, rather than experimental concepts and stuff. So, but yeah, it hits that same kind of like goal, and also is, you know, telling how challenging it is to do something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
The nice thing about Annual Jam is that it pretty much has artsy on the tin.
Yeah.
So like, there won't be any, like, everyone knows what to expect.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, when I got some free time, I can help you build this website.
Oh, Mark.
I
didn't want to commit to making it.
Yeah.
Just wanted the idea.
Well, you do this all the time when you have ideas. Is you like you open the door and then like you let me fill it a little bit.
I do.
And then I get invested.
Yeah, I do that all the
time. All your awesome ideas, I'm just like, I want in. Like, not fair, man.
It's not for me either.
Every time.
I have all these ideas. And I'm like, I don't want to do them. It's too much work.
Uh-huh.
But they're great.
So basically, we have to have like a disclaimer or some sort of warning at the beginning of every nice thinking that Steven is running.
Yes.
Like,
I'm not
thinking
this one.
Don't listen to this one unless you want to.
Don't fall in love because it'll never happen.
Look, Sledgehammer to Ride is coming out, okay?
Yeah, hell yeah.
That's happening.
Yeah. Well, that set a precedent, so now I don't know what to think.
Yeah, okay. I guess
that's That's our show. For show notes and links for this and other Nice Thinkings, go to our website, nicegames.club. Visit us on Threads at Nice Games Club, where Dale posts about game dev resources and screen reader language mode. reply there on Threads, or email us contact@nicegames.club. Nice Games Club is on Patreon. Support the show and get stuff, including ad-free episodes. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. And if you want to keep things more casual, just stop by nicegames.club/discord and tell us how badly you want Steven and me to build this thing. That's it for this week. So until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.